Good morning. This remote meeting of the Climate and Energy Finance and Policy Committee is called to order, and the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Long.
Present.
Vice Chair Acom.
Present.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
Here.
Representative Bierman.
Present.
Representative Bowe.
Bowe is present.
Representative Christensen.
Present.
Representative Franson.
Present.
Representative Grunhagen.
Present.
Representative Hollins.
Present.
Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein present.
Representative Igo.
Igo present.
Representative Lee. Representative Lee. Representative Lippert.
Lippert present.
Representative Lislegaard.
Lislegaard present.
Representative Mecklund.
Present.
Representative Munson.
Munson present.
Representative Stevenson.
Present.
Members, we have a quorum. We also have minutes from March 24th. Representative Acom, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
I have, and I move approval.
Representative Acom moves approval of the minutes from March 24th. Any discussion to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The minutes are adopted. Well, happy Markup Day, members. Thanks for a good discussion this week. We had our opportunity for questions on Tuesday and our bill walkthrough yesterday. We had public testimony, and today we are marking up the bill and taking amendments. And so I will go ahead and hand the virtual gavel over to Vice Chair Acom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so first on our list, I think we are, I guess, do we need to bring the DE2 back in front of the committee?
Yes, I will move the House File 3337 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
And so now we, do you want to move your amendment as well?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move the DE2 amendment to get the bill in front of the committee. I don't think we'll be adopting it yet.
Right. We're going to hold off. That one I knew. So thank you for your patience as we get to the right spot in our agenda. And so we're going to take up these amendments. And first, we're going to take up the A3, Representative Long. I believe that's your amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is my author's technical amendment to get the bill in the shape I would like. And then after this, I'll have a fiscal technical amendment.
So any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A3, signal by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. And so then we will next move on to the A10. Representative Long, would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes, this is the fiscal technical amendment to try to correct some of the fiscal provisions in the bill.
Right.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just would Representative Long yield for question?
I think he will yield. Go ahead, Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Chair Acom. Representative Long, just a general question, kind of what have been the targets set in general for this committee and commerce as far as where it's going and the money it's spending? You have kind of those general numbers that you can share with the committee?
Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question, Representative Swazinski. So the budget spreadsheet totals reflect the amounts that we've been given to spend for the committee.
Any follow-up, Representative Swazinski?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A10, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it and the amendment is adopted. Next on our list, we have the A5, and I believe that's being offered by Representative Lislegaard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a simple, it adds mining to the definition of industrial property exempt from the benchmark program. like manufacturing facilities, the mining facilities don't really fit in within the state purpose of the program. Companies already closely track the energy consumption patterns and implement conservation and efficiency practices to support their business. So it's a friendly amendment. Ask for your support.
Any discussion to the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the amendment, Representative Lissigard. I do support the amendment. View it as friendly. This was certainly the intent behind the benchmarking provision, was not to apply to industrial property, and had not realized that mining is not considered industrial property. So learn something every day. And this, I think, helps reflect the intent of the provision.
Any further discussion to the A5? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it, and the amendment is adopted. Next, we have the A6, and I believe that's being offered by Representative Hollins. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, this is also a very simple amendment. It's exempting cooperatives and municipals from the provisions of the storage section in Article 5. It was concerns brought to us by the Minnesota Rural Electric Association, and we're trying to be responsive as they work with their memberships on increasing their provisions in energy storage and getting everybody on board. So I would also consider this a friendly amendment.
And any discussion, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support Representative Holland's amendment, and do think that it's important to keep moving on storage provisions. But I think in the sake of moving forward this session, this is a good compromise.
Great. Any further discussion from the committee? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. We're moving right along. Next, we have the A1. I believe that's offered by Representative Bow. Representative Bow, would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. The A1 seeks to clarify that the county was the owner of the site where that EV charging infrastructure will be installed, has the final say as to the location of that installation, since it is their property on which it will be installed. It's a friendly amendment, and I would ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Bow. Any discussion, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Bow, for the amendment. I support the amendment. This makes sense to me.
Any further discussion to the A1? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Next, we have the A7 amendment, and I'm actually offering that amendment. Members, the A7 addresses the practice of ratepayer-funded incentive programs that some utilities now offer. For example, in Minnesota, CenterPoint Energy is using customer-funded incentives such as luxury trips or other personal prizes to encourage Minnesota builders to install natural gas appliances in new home construction. For each gas appliance installed, they offer payments and a builder's club point system that rewards builders who push natural gas appliances on customers. Overall, this practice adds costs to customers' rates. And I have two main concerns with this practice. First of all, it increases the cost customers are paying, which is especially concerning when we know utility rates are exceptionally high at this point in time. In committee this year, we have talked over and over again about the impact on ratepayers from the high cost of natural gas, and unnecessary practices like this will only make the problem worse. And second, the practice encourages the expanded use of natural gas at a time when we are actively working to move away from our dependence on fossil fuels to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. We're already not meeting our greenhouse gas emission reduction goals, and practices like this will only make it harder for us to meet our needed targets. And I am actually going to withdraw this amendment today, but that doesn't mean that I don't find this practice of incentivizing the continued use of fossil fuels very concerning, both in terms of cost to ratepayers as well as the impacts on climate change. So the amendment is withdrawn. Moving on to the next amendment, it's A9, and I believe that's being offered by Representative Fo.
It is. Thank you, Madam Chair. Nope, absolutely. The A9 seeks to create an exemption or provide an exemption for munis, the municipal power agencies, from the diversity reporting requirement. It's asking for very specific and detailed plans to be developed for the hiring process and the purchasing process, but munis are frequently very small and they have a very limited staff, and so to create these detailed reports will likely be challenging for those municipal utilities. My experience on the board of the MMPA, Minnesota Municipal Power Agency, found that not only do they have limited staff, but that staff is actually very, very diverse as well, and they seek to hire the best and the brightest, and that's from all over the country and even the world. So they are just concerned about being able to meet that requirement for the very specific and detailed reports, and so the A9 seeks to exempt the munis from that requirement. And I believe it's a friendly amendment, friendly to the munis as well as all of us. And so I would ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Bo. Any discussion, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would ask members not to support this amendment. I think the specific and detailed is overstating a little bit. This is a requirement that the utilities report on their goals for diversity hiring and how they're doing towards meeting those goals. I think that is something that is pretty simple for any organization to do. And I think we all share the goal of trying to make sure that we are diversifying the workforce in our energy industry, particularly as we're seeing, a wave of retirements. And we know that the energy industry is a source of good paying jobs. And we want to make sure that we are making those opportunities available to as many Minnesotans as we can. So I'd ask members not to support the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Long. Further discussion, I see Representative Swazinski, you have your hand raised.
Thank you, Representative Akam. Thank you, Chair Long. I think this amendment, the previous amendment that Representative Akam did withdraw, her concern was the cost of electricity. And, every time you ask for a report, every time you ask for a mandate, every single time, it adds cost to ratepayers' bills. And, this is one small way to make a difference to trying to ease the burden on these small utilities, especially these municipal utilities. If our goal is to lower the cost, I have another amendment that will help lower the cost of electricity coming. This amendment would also help that as well. So whenever you can, decrease the amount of red tape, which these reports are, I think that would potentially help the customer. So I'd ask the committee to support the BOA amendment.
Madam Chair.
Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think small was the operative word, Representative Swazinski, in terms of the cost impact that this would be. I don't think this would even show up in pennies on anybody's bill. We're talking about one report a year, so I don't think this will have any meaningful impact on ratepayer costs.
Any further discussion to the A9 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
And all opposed say nay.
Nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. And let's see, I think we've got one last amendment. It's the A8. I believe it's being offered by Representative Swazinski. Would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you for moving the A8 amendment before the committee. This amendment, I think, really just gets to the goal, which should be our shared goal. Representative Long spoke to the fact that, and if amendment only saves pennies, it's not worth passing to save money to ratepayers. Well, this amendment doesn't just save pennies to everyone's, but it will save really literally millions of dollars across the board by putting dollars back into the pockets of ratepayers. Whether we're talking about the RDA fund and moving those dollars that have been taxed by extended rates. The company doesn't pay them. They simply collect their tax and pass it on to the state of Minnesota from the ratepayers. Whether you're a small business, a single mother, a retired person on Social Security on a limited income, we all pay more for these programs, these taxes essentially that are being levied on, whether that be cash storage or whatnot. And this amendment, I think, really gets to the heartbeat of where the American people are and Minnesotans are right now, is they understand. They look at the policies that the President Biden's taking by shutting down oil exploration, by shutting down our petroleum exploration throughout the country, meanwhile he's flying across the globe trying to beg Saudi Arabia, beg other countries to pump more oil while he's shutting down our opportunities here and our job creation here in America. And, you know, this amendment, I think, gets down to the fact that this election's going to be about many things. But one of the things that I hear about when I go to the coffee shop is why in the world are my bills going up? And I can tell you it's the policies that has been adopted by Governor Walz, President Biden. And, you know, those opportunities, while the president seems to be working exceptionally hard to blame the companies, but willing to accept none of the responsibility when his policies are directly related, whether it's money printing or it's trying to end our dependence on long-term renewable petroleum products. You know, we've got a lot of work to do in this committee. And I think some of the most important things we can be doing is how do we actually lower the cost of energy today? And I think this amendment will directly the fact will send dollars right back into the pockets of Minnesotans. You know, there I will admit, Representative Long, there are some good policies that are in your bill. And we've kept, I think, one of the best ones in this amendment, which would, you know, essentially make some moderate changes to your bill and keep the portion that talks about getting PUC permission, whether to sell property. I think we move that from, what is it, at $50,000 to $1 million with the amendment. That keeps that portion of the bill, which we think is, you know, a good proper place. But it also just sends the rest of the dollars back to the ratepayers. And I think when we're going to the doors and we're going to be knocking on people and say, what did you do to actually lower my costs that I'm paying today? And by getting tax relief, by sending dollars that were taxed out of their pockets back into their pockets, I think the people of Minnesota are going to appreciate that, whether you live in the suburbs, where you live in the urban areas, or where you live in rural Minnesota. And this amendment, I think, gets right down to the brass tacks of what people are going to be talking about this election, and I think it improves the bill significantly. We heard from person to person to person. I said, you know, this policy, we're told that, you know, our lands are flooding and the sun's going to crash into the earth. But this bill will fix it. But then I asked always, whenever we would hear that, I would ask that presenter, oftentimes a scientist, you know, well, how much will that decrease the temperature here in Minnesota? And to a person, they said it will have little to no effect, but we still need to do the right thing. Well, this will do the right thing. This will return dollars back into their pockets. This will keep taxes lower for those people and, you know, ultimately help families that are on limited incomes, poor people, businesses that are trying to struggle because they have to pay higher unemployment benefits because Governor Walz is dragging his feet on unemployment tax relief. And, you know, we hope that this bill will be a friendly amendment and be adopted into this committee. And I would ask for a roll call. Thank you.
Roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Any discussion to the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would ask members to oppose this amendment. I heard a lot of comments from Representative Swazinski that have absolutely nothing to do with this bill, have to do with federal policy or areas that are outside of the scope of what our bill does. But essentially what the amendment would do is strip out everything in the bill. And it would remove every single thing that we are spending money on in the bill. And that includes a number of provisions that are designed to save consumers money. So we have the first historic investment in the state in weatherization, which we have heard saves hundreds of dollars for ratepayers over the course of a year when they have homes weatherized. Right now, we weatherize one-third as many homes as Wisconsin. And this would get us on par. I'd love to be better, but at least we could catch up to where Wisconsin is and weatherizing homes in our state, saving ratepayers hundreds of dollars a year. This would strip out the ability for ratepayer advocates to get reimbursed at the Public Utilities Commission for advocating on behalf of lower rates. And we know that that works and that that actually will help bring down the costs for ratepayers. And we've seen that time and again. This strips out from the bill all of our important policy provisions that would help with the clean energy transition, whether that would be moving towards our ability to buy clean as a state and making sure that we are helping use our state tax dollars to put those towards companies that are doing the right thing, or helping with farmers to make sure that they're getting good advice on the weather trends and how that could impact their future. So every good thing that we do in this bill would be taken out by this amendment. I share your goal, Representative Swazinski, of trying to help make sure we have some ratepayer relief for the polar vortex costs. And that's why we moved a bill out of our committee to do that. But our target does not support the levels of spending that we need to be able to deal with those problems. We heard from Ms. Levinson-Falk from CUB that to even be noticeable on utility ratepayer bills, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars because of the level of costs that we've seen from the polar vortex. And I'm willing to work for that outside of the context of our energy bill. But it shouldn't be an either-or choice. And right now, you would be pulling out provisions that would save ratepayers money and having a really negligible impact in terms of the direct passing on of costs that we're seeing here. It would take $300 to $400 million to really show up on ratepayer bills. And so that's not something that we can do in the context of our target, but it's certainly something that I'm willing to work towards outside of the scope of this bill. And I'm hoping we can get there in our conversations with leadership. It was at the leadership level last year when we were trying to get this done. And unfortunately, the Senate sent us back a bill that was not from a fund that they knew the House would be able to accept. And so that, killed our progress on it that last year. But I'm really hoping that this year we can try to move forward on that as well. So members, I would respectfully ask that you oppose the amendment because we should keep the important things that we are doing in this bill to help with ratepayers, to help create good jobs, and to help move forward on our clean energy transition.
Thank you, Representative Long. And let's see, next up we have Representative Grunhagen.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I would speak in favor of Representative Swazinski's amendment. You know, as I peruse this bill, there's nothing about hydro. There's everything about going further down the road of undermining the stability and base electricity in our state. If you want to look at where this is going, it's look at California, rolling blackouts, which I don't want when it's 20 to 30 below zero. We should be doing hydro. We should be doing nuclear and clean coal, base load electricity. As I've said before on the House floor, I'll support alternative energy when it provides base load electricity. And we've had experts testify in this committee this year, and I've asked them, does it provide base load electricity? No. So you're going to drive up the cost. I've heard all the claims of cost going down. Well, I live in the country. I used to pay under $100 a month on electricity. I'm over $200 a month. And we had testimony from people in Woodbury. Their electricity rates have gone to $500 a month. So you can make all the claims you want, but it turns out to be false. So please care about the low income, the poor, and base load electricity. You're taking us down a fairy tale, a primrose path of nonsense. And by the way, when it's time to clean this mess up with wind and hot and nuke and solar, it's going to be the biggest environmental disaster in the history of this state. So please come to your senses and support this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Franzen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I am going to share in with supporting the lead Swazinski's amendment here. This bill, well, as a matter of fact, all the spending that the Democrats have proposed thus far this year we're looking at $21 worth of government spending for every dollar in tax cuts. So for $1 in tax cuts, the Democrats are proposing $21 increase in government spending. This bill before us that Representative Long is offering takes even more cheap and reliable energy and turns it into woke and broke. Families cannot afford their energy bills now. They cannot afford to put gas in their cars, and the chair is still using this nonsensical, but the weatherization program is going to save Minnesotans a couple hundred dollars a year. Mr. Chair, that's laughable, because we are losing thousands of dollars a year right now due to inflation and this woke, broke climate change nonsense that you're pushing. Families in Minnesota want cheap, they want reliable energy. You are going to cause families to starve, because they're not going to be able to put food on the table because they're going to be too busy trying to stay warm in order to survive our Minnesota climate. So, members, I would suggest that you support the Representative Swedinsky's amendment. At least it's a serious bill. We don't even have a real target in here in this committee. So for all we know, we just got a number written on a napkin. We don't even know what that target number is. This bill is not serious. The members of the Democrat Party on this committee are not serious people. Adopt the Swedinsky Amendment and let's make energy a little bit more affordable for the families of Minnesota.
Any further discussion? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a particularly serious person, I'd just like to respond in a serious way to some of those comments. One is that if we're talking about energy affordability, which is the concern that I'm hearing my colleagues on the other side of the aisle talk about, I've tried to make the case very strongly in this committee that clean energy is more affordable. I've pointed out the statistics. I've pointed out the trends. I've pointed out that we've seen costs for wind and solar fall by 85% and for solar and 55% by wind over the last decade. I pointed out that if you, wanted right now to have the cheapest form of energy, that would be wind power. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can just look to the private sector. You don't need to, look at the advocates from nonprofits who you might not trust. You should look to utilities. You should look to what they are actually filing with the Public Utilities Commission as the cheapest cost path forward. They are moving towards clean energy because it is cheaper. We had a utility in this state try to give away a coal plant for a dollar, and they could not find a buyer for it. We are trying to move towards cheaper energy, members, with clean energy, with energy efficiency, which if you are not using energy, you are going to be saving money. That's just a fact. If you don't take the word of the utilities, look to the insurance companies, who are saying that we need to be moving towards a cleaner energy future because of the huge costs that we are seeing from weather events in the state. If you don't trust them, look to the analysts from large companies like Lazard Finance, who does weatherized cost of energy rate analysis and says that right now wind is the cheapest and solar is competitive with natural gas and will be cheaper soon. So, members, if you want to support cheap energy, this bill is the way to do it. We are moving towards cheaper, more reliable, clean energy.
Thank you, Representative Long. And so just a reminder, we are on the amendment. And if these are other comments, Representative Grunhagen speaking to the bill as a whole, we can do that later. But if you have comments to this amendment, go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I just want to respond to Chair Long's comments. We know that these private companies are doing it under coercion from the federal and state government laws and regulations. They're not doing it based on market. They're doing it based on coercion. It is not baseload electricity. You're undermining our grid. That's what you're doing. This amendment takes us finally a little bit in the right direction. If you really want to care about people, and we can claim all we want, the private sector is doing this on their own. They're not. They're under government coercion, whether it's tax credits or subsidies or laws or regulations. And, you know, and you want an expert, I'll give you Milton Friedman. He's a Nobel Prize winning economist. And he said, if you put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert, in 5 years, you'll have a shortage of sand. We're putting the state and federal government in charge of our electricity. And you know what you're going to have? A shortage of electricity and rolling blackouts when it's 20, 30 below zero here. So please support this amendment.
Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Long.
No.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
Yep.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative
Bo. Bo votes aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
No. Yes.
Representative Franson, aye. Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
Aye.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Igo, aye.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippertz.
Lippert, no.
Representative Lislegard.
No.
Representative Mecklen.
Aye.
Representative Munson.
Aye.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
Let's see, there being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Seeing no further amendments, Representative Long renews his motion to adopt the D2 as amended. Further discussion to this motion? Representative Swazinski.
Could we ask there be a roll call on that?
On the D2? Sure. I think so. Representative Long, is that? Yeah, okay. I'm getting a thumbs up. So yes, we can have a roll call on the D2. Any further discussion to the D2? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Long.
Aye.
Vice Chair Akam.
Aye.
Majority Leader Swazinski.
No.
Representative Bierman.
Aye.
Representative Bo.
Bo votes no.
Representative Christensen.
Aye.
Representative Franson.
No.
Representative Grunhagen.
No.
Representative Hollins.
Hollins, aye.
Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Representative Igo.
Igo, no.
Representative Lee.
Lee, aye.
Representative Lippert.
Aye.
Representative Lislegard.
Aye.
Representative Mecklen.
No.
Representative Munson.
No.
Representative Stevenson.
Aye.
There being 10 ayes and 7 nays, the amendment is adopted. So now final discussion to the bill as amended. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. We had a great opportunity to just lessen the cost of energy in a real way by sending dollars back to ratepayers that have actually paid your utility bills and are trying to make ends meet. This opportunity to do this, really gives us, a chance. It kind of was surprised that this potentially failed. I thought, we've heard a lot from energy folks. We've heard a lot from people around the state on how they're being affected by energy costs. And while plans and things are fine, the things that are staring us right in the face is higher bills. And, while it might be fun to have a program that we get to hang our hat on, at the end of the day, when we tax the electricity here in our state of Minnesota, whether it be through sales tax, on gas, whether it be just on gas storage with Excel, those are all dollars that aren't paid by the business. They're not paid by evil energy companies. They're paid by families. And, I think we had a real opportunity to send some dollars back into people's pockets, back into businesses' pockets who are seeing increased taxes from UI benefits, increased taxes through energy, increased taxes just across the board. When the opportunity to shrink government, to make it smaller, make it more agile, and give businesses a firm footing that they need, we could have done a lot here. And I'll be voting no today on this bill. I would encourage all members on both sides of the aisle in a bipartisan way to vote no. And, you know, I thank Chair Akam. I want to thank all the staff. I want to thank Representative Nisely, representative from across the aisle. Just thank you, staff, for all the work you did throughout the session and throughout the hearings. It's obviously been difficult with the COVID and meeting on Zoom and the rest of it. But, you know, you guys did a great job getting amendments and working with the staff. We just appreciate all you guys do and just have a great Easter. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Susinski. And I will certainly echo the thanks to staff. I know this has been a hard couple of years, and everybody has really done an amazing job. And I also want to take just a moment and thank Chair Long for bringing forward this, putting this bill together and the things that it's going to do to help Minnesotans all across our state. And so I'm grateful to Chair for the committee work this year and for this bill. And so looking, are there any other comments on the bill? Representative Grunhagen.
Yeah, oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I would say that you and Chair Long have done a good job chairing. You're just taking us in the wrong direction, okay? I just wish you would think through it, what you're doing. And it doesn't provide baseload electricity. I know you seem to be well intended, but you know, you're taking us in the wrong direction. And we should be doing hydro and some of the other things that we talked about, but we don't want to do that. That provides baseload electricity. It just is, it's almost irrational in many cases. And now you want to spend more money in this direction of non-baseload electricity and force prices higher. And you're going to hurt the minorities and the poor in this state the most the direction you're going. You're going to continue to drive up their energy costs unnecessarily and ultimately undermine the baseload electricity that they depend on. Now, myself, I live in the country. I don't want my electricity going out when it's 20 below zero. So I'm putting in a generator, a big one, that'll keep everything going regardless of electricity is on or not. I can afford that, but what I'm fighting for are the people who can't afford that, who are gonna be when it's 20, 30 below zero, and they're gonna have rolling blackouts like California. That's who I'm fighting for. And you're not helping the climate. This is not clean energy. It's dirty energy, and it's gonna be the biggest environmental disaster in the history of this state when it has to be cleaned up. Thank you.
Any further discussion to the bill? Chair Long, for the final comments, I guess.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. And thank you, members, for the discussion on the bill. So I'll just respond to a few comments, and then I want to talk a little briefly about some of the good things we're doing in the bill, but I'll try not to take too long. On the comments about clean energy, so the members are right that this is the direction that the world is headed. This is the direction we're seeing our state move as towards clean energy. And certainly it is not some government conspiracy that is moving a utility to set a goal of clean energy or to propose retirements of uneconomic assets that are on their system. That is just economics. That is just getting beat. Because prices are getting cheaper and cheaper for renewable energy. We have a system in our state where the utilities get to make their own plans and then they propose them and there's an open process to resolve them. That is not anything insidious. That is an open and transparent and public process. And the way it's gone right now, it's been working because we've been able to see in real time that first coal was not economic and now gas is not economic. New gas plants are getting beat by combinations of solar and storage. And if you want to talk about baseload power, storage can provide baseload power. Renewable energy is not just one or two plants. We're talking about an interconnected grid that runs from Manitoba down to Louisiana. So we have the ability to draw from resources like wind and solar across a wide area and provide that baseload power that we need. There has been conversation about affordability. I think I've hopefully made as clear as I can that if you care about affordable energy for our Minnesota ratepayers, then you don't want them stuck with stranded assets that are going to be uneconomic in 10 years. You don't want us building new plants, whether they be coal or natural gas, that are going to stick the bill to ratepayers in 10 years when they retire because they can't compete. And they certainly can't compete right now, and it's only going to get harder for them to do over time. There's been some discussion about, well, the climate's problem is so big, why should we even try? Why should we even try to do anything in our bill? Collective action problems are hard, members. I agree with that. When you're trying to solve a big problem that a lot of folks contribute to, and there's two options, right? You can all throw up your hands and you can make the problem worse, or you can all try together to make the problem better. And that's what we're trying to do here, is to make the problem better. If you have a walleye fishery where it's getting overfished, then you don't say, well, hey, the other guy's not going to do anything, so why should I, right? If everybody does that, then all the walleye are gone. And that's what we're facing here. We need to make sure that we are showing that Minnesota is a leader on clean energy and that we're able to step up to actually help protect our climate. And guess what? If we do that, there's a lot of good things that come with that too. We have the opportunity to create an amazing economy for our clean energy jobs here in Minnesota, whether that's installing electric vehicle chargers or doing home weatherization or installing solar energy. We know that those are jobs that are right here in Minnesota, unlike the fossil fuel extraction jobs, which don't happen here in our state. We have jobs that can happen right here and that can put Minnesotans to work with good paying jobs. We know the health consequences of the polluting industries that we have right now, of the polluting forms of transportation right now. Those are serious and those are real for our communities. We have the ability to transition off that, to prevent asthma, to prevent lung disease, to actually help our communities thrive and be healthier. And we know that if we're moving in this direction towards clean energy, that it's going to help the communities that are harmed the most. We know that not all communities are going to be impacted equally by the climate crisis. We heard testimony in our committee from an individual who was willing to share her very personal story of the heat-related impacts on her pregnancy. Those stories are only going to get worse, and those stories are only going to happen more and more to the most vulnerable and to communities of color in our state. So we know that this transition is important, and I just want to thank the members for helping put this bill together. This is a bipartisan bill. We have provisions in here that are bipartisan both in the House and in the Senate. There were a number of things that we had in our bill last year that we didn't put in the bill this year, and that's because we are trying to really focus on finding that common ground where we can agree on common sense solutions that will help move us forward as a state to help get all these benefits that we're talking about. So I just want to thank the members of this committee for their hard work over the course of this year and putting this bill together, and I would ask for member support.
Representative Long renews his motion that House File 3337, as amended, be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Long.
Aye.
Vice Chair Akam.
Aye.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
No.
Representative Bierman.
Aye.
Representative Bowe.
Bowe votes no.
Representative Christensen.
Aye.
Representative Franson.
Franson votes no.
Representative Grunhagen.
Absolutely no.
Representative Hollins.
Absolutely yes.
Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein aye.
Representative Igo.
Igo no.
Representative Lee.
Lee aye.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert aye.
Representative Lislegard.
Aye.
Representative Mecklens.
No.
Representative Munson.
No.
Representative Stevenson.
Yes.
There being 10 ayes and 7 nays, the bill motion prevails and the bill is referred. Let's see, staff are instructed to make any technical changes. And then with that, I don't know, Mr. Chair, are there any announcements about committee going forward?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. Maybe I'll grab the virtual gavel back if you don't mind. thank you so much for leading us through the markup today. Members, I just wanted to take a moment as well to add my thank you to our staff for their very hard work over the last 2 years and what have been challenging circumstances being virtual. It's not been easy, I know, to keep in touch, to keep up with things, to, you know, keep our committee work moving forward smoothly. But I really appreciate both our partisan and our nonpartisan staff for all of their hard work in getting this bill together and in putting our hearings together smoothly. And I'd like to thank the members of this committee, too. I know we don't always agree, but I think we've had respectful conversations, and I have appreciated the opportunity to find agreement where we can. This will be our last hearing for before our deadline, of course. But as I mentioned previously, I do reserve the right to call some hearings after a session. There's nothing planned at the moment, but after the break. Nothing planned at the moment, but we'll try to give members plenty of notice. And I don't expect there would be many hearings, but there may be one or two that I would reserve the right to call.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hagan.
You have allowed good discussion, and I appreciate that, even though we don't agree on hardly anything. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Representative Hagan. I appreciate that. All right, members. Well, thank you so much for the good work this week. I hope you all have a wonderful break. And with that, we are adjourned.